You see, we really never get any place. So we're really adventuring on something that is very, very intricate when we're adventuring on OW. It's not a simple mechanism. Because although handled rightly, it would put in the communication line at the same time it was doing something for the PC, the auditor protects his communication line to the PC. He protects his communication line to the PC by not asking anything embarrassing. And he permits his PC to sit there with width holes in the session, half ARC broke, with the communication line flying out the window. And he never presses home to find one of these things out. He can even get a read on the meter that exists and never really ask for it, because he doesn't want to risk his communication line. So this makes OW dicey. Now, another thing that made it dicey in the old days is the fact that withhold occurs in the bank, and you should not use the word withhold. Of course, withhold is an out-of-ARC condition, and it's an out-of-ARC process and actually cannot be run solo. You can take an out-of-ARC process and run it in combinations with an ARC process. You can say, what have you done, what have you not done? You could say, what have you said, what have you not said? You could say, what have you thought, what have you not thought? Or something like that. But again, thought is a risky one, because that also occurs in the bank. But done, fortunately, really doesn't occur in the bank. Now, I've told you that OW is senior to the bank. Now, this might lead you to believe that once you'd got the bank gone, you'd still have OW. No, this is not the case. It is senior in that it will key out the bank. Now, let's look at this a little more intimately and find why it keys out the bank. Because the whole common denominator of the bank would be done. That's the common denominator of the whole reactive bank. In other words, a high order of lock. Anybody who knows the constituency of the bank could look those things over and he'd certainly say, yeah, that's true. It's just a high order of lock, don't you think? So it's a lock on all parts of reactivity. Now, when we specify what things have been done to, we err, because we might run into another piece of the bank, you see. So the generalized statement, or a common or the proper name of somebody, is quite allowable. We find our PC has a present time problem with Oswald. Perfectly proper to say, what have you done to Oswald? We're not running into any bank because he hasn't got Oswald as part of the basic reactive mind. Men, that might be different. That might be too close in. But this guy Oswald, what have we done to Oswald? Now, we find, weirdly enough, that the communication line to Oswald would have been interrupted because of an overt to Oswald, so therefore one couldn't communicate to Oswald. A present-time problem is also produced by failing to complete a communication. There is really one for the book. That's something I don't think I've told you. I've known it for a long time, but I just think I've omitted mentioning it. I might have mentioned it, but I doubt it. A present-time problem can be created by a failure to complete a communication cycle. This is so much the case that if your PC coming into session were asked, you were to ask your PC coming into session, is there any communication you haven't completed? The PC would rattle off several, and the PC would not register on present time problem. This is another method of handling PTPs. They tend to vanish under this. Now, you're not trying to erase the PTPs anyway. All you're trying to do with these PTPs is get them out of the road so you can audit somebody. You never erase in rudiments anyway. Actually, never erase in anything below level 6 now. So, your action here is a destimulative action, and that question all by itself will adequately destimulate the PC so the PC can be audited. You'll find it very seldom that you will fail to get around a present time problem with that question. Of course, the problem can still be there, but the pressure is gone on it. Now, I got PTPs, the PC says. You say, well, what communication have you failed to complete or haven't you completed with regard to these? And the PC says, brop, 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 and that's the end. You don't get no register on PTP. That would be a common experience. Now, the reason he has PTPs with these people and hasn't completed the communication is because he's got overts. So we get the secondary consideration on PTPs. You never have a PTP with anything you don't have an overt on. Of course, that's primary, really. Your PTPs stem from overts. If you have an overt against a telephone pole, you'll have a PTP with a telephone pole. Something like this. Psychosomatics go back to PTPs, which go back to overts. So you can actually run out psychosomatics on this, but it's a rather adventurous undertaking. You're liable to get the PC into more than you can easily get him out of. But you can, in extremis, handle a psychosomatic illness on the basis that it must be a present-time problem. See? The guy's got lumbosis, all right, and then you immediately have two approaches. The least adventurous of these approaches, and the swiftest one to handle, is the guy's got lumbosis of the blumjum. And you say, well, what communication haven't you completed to or about the blumjum? Oh, well, that's simple. I had an appointment at the hospital, and I thought, I had an appointment there, and I was supposed to go to the drugstore and get some stuff, and so forth, and I... Actually, I was telling my Aunt Maisie the other day about the blumjum. It was a very obstructive mechanism as far as I was concerned, and I didn't finish the letter. What, the somatic's gone? What happened? PC's liable to be very startled at this point because they're apparently not talking about anything. It had anything to do with doing something for the blumjum. That's what I mean by it's very, very difficult to keep lumbosis around. It is. It takes a lot of doing. So we have these two approaches, not just one. The unfinished cycle of communication to or about the it. The unfinished cycle of communication to or about the object that you're trying to handle, which is a PTP. Guy has a present time problem with Internal Revenue. Well, we don't much care about wondering and settling this problem. We certainly want him less obsessively concerned with it. So let's do something to get rid of this problem, all right? The easiest pitch is an unfinished cycle of communication. And the second one is a done. And let me call to your attention, you have now followed out the exact 1-2 that I gave you for the auditor to PC. This is the way the mind stacks up. Now, it's quite sensational just getting a communication line straightened out to something. It's quite sensational. It doesn't really finish off everything there is to finish off. It is merely sensational. So the best thing to ask a PC who has a PTP, the best thing to ask this PC to get rid of his PTP is what cycle of communication have you failed to complete with regard to this? To it or about it? See, giving you a present time problem. Present time problem, my wife. All right. What cycle of communication have you failed to complete, or have you not completed, better wording, to your wife or about your wife? And it all sort of goes, and an awful lot of the time, this problem evaporates as a problem. But you haven't taken very much care of this problem yet, because you've approximated the 1-2 of the auditor, you see. You really not done anything about the problem. You've just eased it off. You've gotten in there so that you could do something about it. But you very often find out quite magically that for the purposes of destimulation and getting on with a session on what you were doing yesterday and so forth, it is quite adequate. And you very often find that in the field of psychosomatic auditing, that is quite adequate. The severity of the illness has nothing whatsoever to do with the ease or difficulty of its release. These two things are not comparable. You'll find some guy with some sniveling little sinus condition that merely nags him, that takes 1,000 hours of itza before it finally surrenders. And this other bird's got a busted back and can't even move his feet, and you might cure the whole thing up in 5 minutes. Don't ever measure the length of auditing by the violence of the condition, because they are not necessarily in keeping one after the other. They're not. So anyway, there's your first chance. Just with an auditor, can sometimes sit down and audit a PC for a few minutes. He just gets in his communication line, you see. The other fellow finds out there's somebody he can talk to. The auditor with his good discipline and everything. And all of a sudden, the guy feels wonderful. And he says, well, it's all settled now. And the auditor says, wait a minute, that can't be. I didn't do anything, you know. That's true, but as far as this guy's concerned, it's all settled. There's about one human being out of the whole sun, moon, or stars he could talk to, and this was enough to momentarily key him out, make him feel better. Perfectly adequate action. And then you go around waiting for this miracle to happen again, don't you see? Well, the miracle maybe won't happen for many a PC. Because, of course, what the missing thing was is you didn't do anything for this first PC. And you knew it. So you get lazy and you expect to go on through auditing, not doing anything for people and have them feel marvelous. I think that's the one shot clear. And so on. You see, if that existed, we'd all be out of work. So you can bless your stars it doesn't. But you occasionally get this type of reaction. You get somebody reading a book on Scientology, and all of a sudden going well all over the place, you see. Well, that's because somebody understands them, or somebody knows what it's all about, or somebody put his finger on what the score is with life. And just the fact that this data could exist all of a sudden gives the guy a resurgence, and he gets out of a sick bed. This has happened many, many times. But that's just the first step, see. That's the communication step. Now, this other step, when it doesn't occur automatically, you want to be able to do something about it. Don't go around expecting the accident to happen all the time, you see. So you ask this, let me take it up, in the most elementary session form possible. Terribly elementary session form. And that is, do you have a present time problem? Oh, well, boy, do I have, you should ask. All right, well, is there any communication you have not completed with regard to those problems? Oh, problem's all gone. You say, what magic? How marvelous. All right, that's fine, but remember, what you have just done is the lick and the promise. See, you have not gone any more fundamentally into it than that. Now, supposing you were in the horrible condition of having said, what communication have you failed to complete? What was present time problem? PC said, oh, well, none of that would do any good. Nothing. One couldn't, you know. That's it. Now what do you do? Your favorite card trick has laid an egg. Now, where do we go? Well, there's number two. You see, you should realize that up to this point, you haven't done number two. You haven't done anything for the PC, so this second one is done. You see, doing something is mostly done. They rhyme. They go together very nicely. Now, why? Because it's the highest common lock of the whole reactive mind. If he has a present-time problem with something, he has overts against it. If you really want to do something about these things now, you had better get off those overts.
If this has been getting in your way consistently and continuously, you jolly well better get off of those overts. You better get them off of that case, man, because they are big and they are flagrant and they are mad.
If your card trick won't work, what communication have you failed to complete? I keep saying fail to complete. You can never use fails and auditing command. It's an old habit. What communication have you not completed or haven't you completed? You got the other one. And the other one. Now that's doing something for a PC. And there is such a vast difference between the amount of skill required between saying somebody, what communication hasn't been completed? It doesn't upset him. It's not embarrassing. There's no social status challenged here. You're improving his communication, so your communication with him improves. It requires nothing of your auditing discipline. See, that's the lazy long sleep. Why? Because it's really just step one again. Now you're going to have to done. And man, that takes auditing. That takes some auditing. I know of 17 different ways that you might have to approach a case in order to get off a series of overts to actually throw out of the existence all of the PCs upset about it. And you might have to use every single one of them. There are lots of them. There's overts in chains. There is the subject of recurring withholds. There's the subject of the recurring overt. There's the subject of getting the basic of something, the formulation of the proper question to ask so that. This can get pretty complicated. We've had all that technology here over a period of time. A lot of you are here who have been here before and so forth have sweated out. But it's very valuable technology. Some individual keeps telling you that he threw mud at a car when he was 16. And this is an overt. And he gives you this overt, and he gives you this overt, and he gives you this overt. Nothing happens, but he keeps telling you this overt. Well, now you have to know what is happening here and know what to do about it. Otherwise, he'll just keep on giving you the overt. This is part of a chain of overts. This is what's known as a recurring overt. And the trouble with it is you're nowhere near its basic. And now you have to be able to codify the question necessary to get the basic of the chain. And you have to be able to audit this sort of thing by chains. And this can become very interesting indeed. And then you have to be prepared to find no overt as the bottom of the chain. And that is one of the more mysterious things. The guy has always believed that he had an overt there and none was there. There's that phenomenon which can hold a chain in. And others have plenty to know about this. But man is basically good despite his reactive bank. A reactive bank is only composed to make a man commit overts, which is against his better nature. If he commits these overts, therefore he'll trap himself because he won't go on communicating having committed them. So it's the perfect trap. You do not want to talk to people you have wronged. I'm very shy of letting anybody wrong me. Not because they will do me any damage, because they can sure cut themselves up. They commit an overt act, don't you see? And then they will try to withhold and sever the communication line for fear that they will commit another overt act. That actually is the fundamental think of man. After a while, he goes out of control and he just starts dramatizing. And then you have the murderer and the thief and the rest of the fellow who has no responsibility or anything. He's actually left the human race by this time. But along some line, that individual will still have a sensibility. he will still be sensible of his responsibility in some zone or quarter. And in handling such a person, an auditor has to be terrifically good. He has to find some zone in that person's existence that person could commit an overt on. Oh, the person has slain cities full of people, don't you see? And he's done this, and he's done that. Put any crime on the book. This person has done this crime without the least qualms. Ah, well, the auditor contest there is to find what? You see, he's totally out of communication with everything. That's why he can commit the crimes. He's gone. He's just dramatizing. He's not even there. He's woof. All right? You've got to find, as an auditor, some zone he can still commit an overt against. What overt would be real to this individual? And you find some little corner of his existence is still an overt. Now, there's other ways to build up overts in an individual. You say, all right, what have you done? What have you done? And the individual will give you perhaps something which is a rather banal statement. You can ask him, well, why was it all right to do that? And he will give you a lot of justifications and so forth. There's that approach. Now, what terrible, vicious, mean thing. This is another thing, you see. Just done is just done. You know, what have you done? Well, I've eaten breakfast. That's a perfectly adequate answer to the question. But what mean, vicious thing have you done? Now, this would be another branch that we call overts. See, just what have you done, that can be used. That can be used all by itself. It's an auditing question. What have you done? But you wouldn't really, except if you were educated your PC into answering the question under some special connotation, you really wouldn't get nothing but overts, you see. But it's perfectly valid to do that, to get such answers and so forth. The only modification which you require, what are you absolutely sure you have done? Now, let me tell you why that is vitally necessary, that you understand these two branches of done. One of what have you done that is socially reprehensible or prevent you from communicating and doing something else. That's what we call an overt. And the other one is just having taken an action in the direction of. That's just done. It means just that. It means having taken an action in the direction of. Nothing. No significance with regard to it at all. Now, if we run just plain done on the individual, we could be totally knuckleheaded as an auditor and not guide the individual in any way, and he would immediately start doing something else. Now, what would he start doing? He would start looking for the explanation. He's running a process. You're running. You're saying, what have you done? What have you done? What have you done? And the PC is no longer running that process. Now, hear me now. This is the big liability of this done. The PC now starts looking for an explanation for what has happened to him. And he's now running the process. Explain what has happened. Maybe this will explain what has happened to me. You might as well be asking, explain what has happened to you. Explain what has happened to you. Explain what has happened to you. That's the process he's running. He's running, explain what has happened to you. But you're running, what have you done? Now, unless you're aware of the fact that almost any PC under the sun will convert the process done to explain what has happened to you, you will never be able to run a pure done on a PC. If you don't know this, then you can't run done on a PC. He'll convert it. He starts looking for the explanation. And he will start inventing things he has not done in order to get rid of the consequences which he is experiencing. He's trying to find a good enough overt to explain what is occurring in his life. Now, there is your
your considerable difference in these processes, and what an auditor has trouble with there, then we'll recapitulate very rapidly. An auditor then has trouble differentiating between communicating with a PC and doing something for a PC. When he gets into running done, he doesn't want to sacrifice his communication line in order to press home any nasty personal little facts, you see. So he never really presses home his question. And the next action is he runs into the square brick wall of the PC, doesn't run the process. The PC runs, explain what has happened. Well, a fellow is subject to continuous headaches. So he will actually, in a desperate condition, start giving you fictitious deeds. Fictitious deeds. He'll very often go on to the far back track to give you a fictitious deed. You always want to beware of that, because you know at once that this happens, that the individual has done this to you. I shot 15 Praetorian guards in Rome. Oh, no, 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 that is not an answer to the auditing question. Because the auditing question is, understand, what do you jolly well, damn well know you've done? But what auditor is going to sacrifice his communication line by cutting a PC down and shooting him down in flames to that degree? No, you listen to a couple of these, but all right. Steer it back to where it belongs. Because he's looking for an explanation. He isn't trying to find what he's done. All you want is, what are you certain you've done, bud? That's all the answer you want. What are you real certain? What do you know absolutely that you have done? You could work a gradient scale up from, I know I've eaten breakfast. In fact, I know that sometime during the last year I've eaten. Yes, what have I done? What I'm absolutely certain I know. I know I've spent some money. I know I must have spent some money in the last few days. I don't really have any exact recollection of any money, but I have less money now and then, so therefore I must have spent some money in the last few days. All right, well, do you know you spent some money in the last few days? Well, this is an actual auditing sequence, you see. Do you know you spent some money in the last few days? Well, I must have, because I have less money now. Well, that is, say, you're just computing that you spent some money in the last few days. Do you know that you spent any money in the last few days? Come on. Where did you spend some money in the last few days? Oh, my God, you asked me a question like that. Sixpence. I spent a sixpence for a lolly. All right, good enough. Here's the next question. What have you done? Well, let's see. What have I done? Let's see. Start squeezing his head a little bit. What have I done? Well, I was a headsman once that worked up in the tower, and I missed Anne Boleyn's head and hit her the flat of the head with an axe. You know what he figured out? He tried to answer the question. He got a headache, so he tried to explain why he had the headache. So he reaches back into the fast, and he gets some uncertain piece of something, so he tries to offer you something that is enough overt to give him that much headache. And that's why it's very difficult. Now, you find that people who answer the question that way, the test is, do they ever get well? No, they have an awful time. They have a pretty bad time. Now, it isn't actually whether they did do it or didn't do it. It's a certain degree of certainty on having done it. See? Now, I can very easily go 500 years ago back into France and give you the name, rank, and serial number of a lot of things. And I can give these things to you, but after I've run a few of them, I start running into, let's see, was her name Mary, or was it Marie, or was it, and did that happen at Agincourt, or was that at Poitiers?
Next thing you know, I'm in a fog. And if I go on this way very long, I'll start wondering whether I even was alive yesterday. Because I haven't entered it from a zone of certainty. See? I've entered it from a zone of dim recollection or something like this. So done is built up on a gradient of certainty, not built up on a gradient of explanations of what is happening to the PC or has happened to the PC. You might even convert the question so that it is, what are you quite positive that you have done? You want to be careful about saying absolutely certain.
See, it's no criticism of the PC or even the PC's memory, but that PC is actually trying to explain something, or they wouldn't be shooting back on the backtrack trying to give you an explanation. See, that's the thing you've got to watch. It's the thing you've got to be awful careful of. Because they're going to dig themselves in an awful hurry. So again, you wouldn't be doing anything for the PC by running done. So again, it comes under the heading of doing something for the PC. Well, there's a lot of things you could do with a PC without doing anything for the PC. There's a lot of phenomena that you can achieve without achieving anything for the PC. You can turn on some very, very handsome somatics at one time or another on a PC without turning them off, too. So, anyway, you've got a problem here in doing something for the PC because you're liable to be doing A and the PC is doing B. And then you go on doing A while the PC is doing B, and then somewhere down the line you wind up in a hell of a mess. And you say, well, what happened? Well, the PC never did what you said, so you didn't do anything for the PC. There was an actual fact, no barrier to your willingness to do something for the PC, but there must have been a tremendous barrier to your understanding of what was going on. That you could ask A, and the PC answered B, in itself showed the auditor observation was very poor, so therefore the auditor wasn't in communication with the PC, so again the communication factor was out. So once more, we weren't doing anything for the PC. Now this is where the thing adds up. Now, if you're going to communicate with the PC, if you're going to communicate with the PC, it's to the end of doing something for the PC. Now, if your communication with the PC is good, you will wind up then in a position to do something. But having gotten in a position to do something, for heaven's sakes, now do something. See, don't halfway do something or partially do something. This isn't difficult, what I'm talking to you about. It's just putting things in their right boxes and their right compartments. Don't ever think because the PC likes you and everything is going along fine and you get along together so well that you're doing something for the PC. No, you're communicating well to the PC. So, in communicating very well to the PC, you now have an opportunity to do something for the PC, but then your own communication channel to the PC could go out and you could be asking the PC A and be getting answers for B. And then again, you wouldn't do anything for the PC. There was a second place where it can break down. Now, you're the gist of the situation then is that OW is liable to be the most productive zone or area for a big recovery on the part of the PC, providing the auditor knows how to steer it and will steer it and isn't being too tender about it. There's dozens of ways to run this sort of thing. You can get in there and you can say, all right, what big overt have you committed in this lifetime? In other words, take OW from the version of overt, you know, so on. All right, what overt have you committed? What big overt have you committed in this lifetime? Think. Well, I upset Joe. Yes, that was about the biggest overt in this lifetime. I really upset Joe. All right, fine.
You think you've gotten someplace now. Of course, you haven't gotten any place. Your tone arm hasn't moved. There's been no cognition. There's been nothing like this. This thing is in a situation where it can be set up in a dozen different ways. You haven't gotten any place yet, but you've gotten a big overt. Now, you think, perhaps, that his having told you now should somehow or another magically discharge this thing. Now, why should it magically discharge it? He hasn't answered the auditing question, for one thing. He doesn't think it was an overt. What big overt have you committed in this lifetime? Well, this horrible thing I did to Joe. He tells you what it is, rather proudly. You say, well, OW doesn't work because nothing happened. Man, you didn't even get your big toenail wet on the side of the Pacific. The $64 question now is, well, why wasn't it an overt? Oh, well, it wasn't an overt because Joe's a heel and because of this and because of that and so forth, and he deserved that, and it's the common thing to do in those circumstances. Everybody expected me to do it, and of course it was natural that I would because I have a reactive bank and it forced me to do it. My guy can go on for some time on the justification of this overt. And you start to get tone arm action, tone arm action, tone arm action. Now you're watching the increase of responsibility along certain zones or lines. And this person has not flattened the process because he has not come up to a cognition or a recognition of anything yet. But he's sure working on it. And that tone arm is a-moving, and it's a-moving, and it's a-moving, and so forth. And we're going along on this. And after all, Joe really was a heel. And he wrote me a nasty letter once, which was made a judgment. It was absolutely inevitable and impossible that I would have done anything else but this because everybody expected me to do this, don't you see? And if I hadn't done this, it would have committed an overt against a great many other people. Now, on this overt against Joe, is it really an overt after all? And so on. All of a sudden, the guy is liable to get this little sensation of the glee of insanity or something like that. I'm not kidding you. It's a sort of a glee of insanity that starts coming off the surface and so on. And some little corner of him is taking a look at this thing. You know, he said that there was some part of that that was in overt. Mostly against myself, of course, because it's my And a guy will actually worry that and worry that and worry that. Now, I'm not prepared to tell you how many hours he could go on worrying this, producing tone arm action all the way. I don't know. Might be a 25-hour intensive on one overt, don't you think? Until you get the thing worn down, and eventually, all of a sudden, he says, well, even though it could have been explained, you know, that was a hell of a thing to do to Joe. I shouldn't have done that to Joe. I'd completely forgotten. I'd completely forgotten. I had it completely in my choice whether I did it or didn't do it. And I did it. Ooh, yes. Yeah, I committed an over against Joe. Yeah, boom. You see a blow. You won't get another scrap of TA out of that whole thing. You got one done. One done off the PC. See, there are numerous ways to handle these things. Now, while you have him going through all of this and so forth, particularly as being a Scientologist, he may know all the ropes. Keep them guided into this channel and keep them going right on down the line. Keep your communication channel and so forth open to the PC during this period of time. That's all a trick. That all takes some doing. But in the final analysis, you will have done something for the PC. For the PC, not to him. Now, there is the auditing of OW. Now, a lot of this lecture, I apparently have not been talking to you much about the process, OOW. I've been talking to you about the
subversion and guises of auditing. But unless these things are understood in their proper relationship one to another, you will never run any OW and never get any overts off anybody and really never get any withholds off anybody. You know? You have to know the technology. You have to know how to audit. And you have to yourself be in communication with the PC to know how to handle this situation. Now, all the way along the line of what I've been talking to you about, you are raising the cause level of the PC. All the way along the line, you're raising the cause level of the PC. You do these things fairly slippily, fairly expertly. You're raising the cause level of the PC, and he's walking right up, and he'll be able to, as is, more and 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 more. Your PC will be changing under your eyes. Your PC doesn't come into session with so many PTPs. Your PC is much more able to get the show on the road. The PC is this and the PC is that. And you're seeing this thing progress, don't you see? Now, you could go into done in numerous other categories. I swear, I don't know if you piled up all the bulletins on the subject of OW and running withholds and chains and all of this kind of thing. Man, if you stacked those all up together, you wouldn't be able to hardly look over the desk. There's lots of technology. You don't need all that technology, perhaps, but it's very nice to have it. If you're going to be very expert along these lines, why, there it is. Because the mind is quite funny in the various ways that it works. Very often you get a tremendous failure in this particular field in trying to direct somebody to do something in this field. They don't understand some of these ramifications I've been pointing out to you. I've asked somebody, a girl is lying dying in a hospital for no apparent reason or something of the sort, and somebody asked me frantically, say, you know, over a long distance line or something of the sort, what can we do to bring this girl back to life and so forth? And frankly, it's not with any hope at all that I tell them what they can do. Because I know that ordinarily they won't consider it heroic enough. I'd tell them the exact fact of what to do in such a case as that. The exact thing to do was find out what her family doesn't know about. That actually was enough. They were in sufficient communication with the girl in this particular case. That was enough to have gotten her out of that bed and back on her feet again. It wasn't that I knew anything she had done, but I just knew from the sudden discussion of it that having retreated from home to this and then gone to that point and then suddenly gone to a hospital with the exclamation point and fireworks and lying there dying from no apparent reasons or causes and so forth, that obviously there was a withhold there. And that would have taken enough off the edge of it, don't you see? Because I knew that any situation like that, no matter how heroic it appears, must have been terribly hard to maintain. That situation like that is so unnatural. Look at how hard somebody had to work at it to put it all together this way. And it's just like any other complex situation. You touch one corner of the house of cards and down it'll come. Well, that's the good point to touch. Some stranger saying to the person, you know, what doesn't your family know about? The girl might have opened up, well, they don't know I had this affair with Bill and so forth, and that I'm on Sant. And then all of a sudden it felt much better, don't you see? And so what am I lying here dying for, you know? I got none of that. Because people look at the heroicness of the condition. They always added up that it must be an heroic, comparable action, and it's not. It might be very complex, the reasons they're there, but the very complexity makes it untenably hard to hold on to. No, a madman down here in an asylum, he has a hell of a time. Poor fellow must work day and night staying in there. He just must work overtime.
You can see now I will be ferocious, you know. The point of entrance on the thing, they're just actually the same points I've been talking to you about. You get into communication with him, and you ask him what's sensible, see? Or you ask him what he's done, or ask him what he's withholding. And you just see it crack up in front of your eyes. And that's actually the magic of the world of auditing. That's the magic that can be done with auditing. You get the long grind situation. Looks like a long grind to you because you say, what have you done? I murdered the local vicar. And you're stopped right there. Where do you go from there? You have no responsibility, you have no nothing, and so forth. So recently we have developed ways of handling these no responsibility. It's actually a new development, and compartmented them out so they're much more easily handled. Well, I wish you lots of luck with it, but when I ask you to get some withholds off somebody or get some overts off somebody or raise somebody's cause level, now at least you know what I am talking about. Thank you.